The following program is Music Time in Africa for broadcast on Sunday, May 6, 1984, at 17 hours 30 GMT. It's Music Time in Africa. Very good evening to you, friends. I'm Rita Rochelle, and this is Music Time in Africa on Voice of America's Africa service, bringing you the wonderful sounds of African music from our studios here on Independence Avenue in the heart of downtown Washington, D.C., USA. Your VOA music man, Leo Sarkisian, has come up with a nice list of recordings for today, and with us here in the studio is Sylvia Williams, director of the American National Museum of African Art, which is now part of the Smithsonian Institution here in Washington, D.C. As you know, the Smithsonian Institution is one of the world's great historical, scientific, educational, and cultural establishments, and Sylvia Williams, as director of the National Museum of African Art, is the first American black woman to head a major museum in the United States. So we'll be talking with her. And we have another young lady you'll be listening to right now in this first recording for this evening. From Bamako, Mali, here's Sister Nina Makalu.
Thank you.
she sings, Asiliba Inala Nasiliba Tabulata, Sister Nina Makalu, blending her traditional sound with today's beat, all the way from Bamako, Mali, West Africa, right here on Music Time in Africa.
The Voice of America.
As you know, Music Time in Africa is now being broadcast at 1730 GMT instead of 1830 GMT, 1 hour earlier. So if your family or your friends still don't know about the change in time, I hope you'll let them know. Once again, I'm Rita Rochelle, and happy that you're listening this evening. Today we have in our studios Sylvia Williams, who is the new director for the Museum of African Art, which is now a part of the Smithsonian Institution. Welcome to the VOA studio, Sylvia. It's nice to have you.
Thank you, Rita.
We're very excited about your being here, more excited that you've moved into our city from Brooklyn, New York, and that you're doing wonderful things for us. We're very interested in the African musical instruments that you house at the museum.
Let me say that the instrument collection is not vast by any means, and we are an art museum which has instruments in its collection, some of which are, let's say, non-figurative instruments. By that I mean there's no anthropomorphic carving on the piece, as we know there can be in some African instruments, and very beautifully done. But we are not ethnomusicologists, we are art historians who work there, so that although we love music and love the sound of music, we don't play the instruments. Our interest is in exhibiting the instruments from the point of view of art. So if we have an exhibition into which an instrument in the collection fits, let's say we had an exhibition of either on a regional basis, let's say from the Lower Congo region, and we had a magnificent ivory horn that was exquisitely carved, that would be in the exhibition. We're not planning any exhibition at this point of just musical instruments. That has been done in this country, but we're not planning one at the present time.
I see. Not only are you a world-renowned art curator that we're extremely pleased to have in our presence, but you're also an author. You've written a couple of books, one of which is African Art as Philosophy. That was written by you in 1974. But before we get into that, I'd like to talk a little bit about your background, and I'd like for you to tell me a little bit about your educational background and how it led to, first of all, the Brooklyn Museum.
Well, I was always interested in art, and as I got a little older, I became interested in art history and decided to major in that in undergraduate school. Ultimately, that led to graduate school and a fellowship, a curatorial fellowship, in a museum in New York, the Brooklyn Museum, where I stayed for about 11 years. So I've skipped over a lot of years in explaining that, but that was the route.
You were also associated with the African American Institute in Lagos, Nigeria. Could you give us some background information on that experience?
Well, it started out that my family, my mother and my father, moved to Africa and lived in Nigeria, and my father was attached to the African American Institute. And I decided to go with them because I wanted to see what Africa was like. I was not employed by the Institute before leaving the United States. And after I got there, I was very fortunate to get a secretarial job with the Institute, but working on one program in particular, and that was the ASPAL program. It had to do with students coming to the United States for undergraduate work. And it was a cooperative venture. The African governments were involved, as well as our government, and I believe it was Harvard University that was also involved.
And you lived in Paris. You studied in Paris, and you were there for how long?
I was there for about a year, whole year.
Was this during your undergraduate years or your graduate?
No, I had finished college by this point before going to Africa. But I knew that if I decided to go on in graduate work in art history, I needed to master two languages, one French and one German. And like many American students, I think I felt it was less painful to go to the country and live there and learn the language than it would be to sit here in the United States and learn the language. So I went to France for a year and studied only French, the language. From Paris, I came back to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But there was about a 10-year period before I really resumed my work in art history. And I did various and sundry things.
Well, we're very proud of you in this country, in this city particularly, because you happen to be the first black woman in America to head a major museum that's connected with the Smithsonian. And for that, we're very, very proud. Washington is a city that is about 70% black, and you have instituted some very, very important programs through the museum to try and attract that particular audience. What are you going to do to continue that once you move from your location to the new, what we call the mall on the Smithsonian grounds?
Well, in some respects, it will be much easier once we move to our new quarters in 1986, because one of the needs that I recognized and the staff recognized when I came here a year ago was that we needed, if possible, to try to rotate activities on a faster pace. That is not always easy to do if your facility isn't constructed in a way that lets you handle that. But one of the reasons we're able to do even that much is because we have a very fine volunteer docent staff. They number in the 70s and are wonderful in terms of extending the capacity of the education department, which is about five full-time employees.
There are several programs that are available. Don't they include the talking drum and the folk tales? And what are some of the other things that children can see when they come to the museum?
There are various combinations. A group may come in and have a workshop. Then they may go over to the museum. The workshop's in one building. Then they may go over to the museum and have a tour through the exhibition, current exhibition. And then they may go up to the what we call the third level of the museum, upstairs, where they may have what we refer to sort of as an African experience. It's conducted by two members of our education staff who are African. And they talk to them about dress in Africa, about objects in Africa, about music in Africa. And they have drums and will actually drum. So that the entire visit could take, let's say, 2-3 hours, or one can have just one component, a workshop, for example, and then leave, or a workshop and just into the galleries.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a fascinating job ahead of you with the move that you have ahead to look forward to with the new construction going on for the Museum of African Art, which will now be part of the main mall area. I'd like to know very briefly what some of your plans are when you take that, shall we say, new location, take up a new residence. What are some of your expectations for the museum, the projects that you would like to see implemented as director of the Museum of African Art?
Well, of course, the first thing in any museum is mounting exhibitions of new topics, topics that need further research, and the attendant publications that go with those exhibitions. The publications become a great contribution to the discipline of art history in African art. The exhibitions are an extraordinary vehicle for letting the people here in this country and the visitors to this country understand a little bit more about Africa, we hope. So that's the first thing. Second, the educational program we hope will develop further, more intensively, in a more sustained way than we're able to do now in the present space. Those are publishing, educational programs, and exhibitions are three of the important aspects of museum work, as well, of course, working with your permanent collection, which we hope will continue to develop as the years go by. We will have more interesting pieces to show the public locally, as well as nationally. As you know, Washington has many visitors from all over, and we think that's very important to reach out in the United States to people who may not understand Africa or know anything about Africa.
Well, this has been an interesting conversation for us. We're so very pleased that you could take the time out of your busy schedule to join us. May I congratulate you again on being the first black woman to head a major Smithsonian museum. As the new director of the Museum of African Art, Sylvia, we thank you for joining us. Sylvia Williams, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Music Time in Africa continues now with music from the Republic of Guinea. The drumming and singing you'll hear now was performed in a large field on the outskirts of the city of Kankan, where hundreds of people had gathered to watch a famous magician dance on a bed of red-hot coals, a special fire dance that must have been an exciting experience to watch. Well, my colleague, your VOA music man, Leo Sarkisian, was there, and this is the recording that he made for us. That was music for a magician's fire dance from the eastern region of Guinea, a recording that Leo made near the city of Kankan, and you can be sure that was one dance that Leo didn't want to participate in. He'd rather just sit back and plain old high life, sukus or segre and kamanyola. Well, this next music is a little slower pace, nice and easygoing. This is music of the Akan in Ghana called Ashewa. I'm
You've been listening to music from West Africa. Next, we'll have music from East Africa. So stay with me while I take a few moments for this brief message.
Join us every day on VOA.
From East to West Africa and from North to South, more people keep their radios tuned to the Voice of America because they have one of international radio's finest broadcast teams keeping them in tune with what's going on in this small world of ours. And that's what Leo and I recommend, that you listen to VOA's Africa service every day, 7 days a week. You'll have the latest news about Africa and the rest of the world, the latest political and economic developments, with a look into world sports, science, agriculture, the arts, and of course, always good music, right here on the VOA every day. And for the best in African music, this is the program, Music Time in Africa, broadcast every Sunday at 17 hours 30 GMT and 22 hours 30 GMT each Sunday here on VOA's Africa service. We also broadcast in Hausa, Swahili, Amharic, French, and Portuguese every day. Write to me for a program schedule. My name is Rita, spelled R-I-T-A, and my last name, Rochelle, is spelled R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E. My address is Music Time in Africa, Voice of America, Washington, D.C. The postal code is 20547 USA. We do look forward to hearing from you. We've been getting such nice postcards, and the letters are wonderful. Again, for writing, that address is Music Time in Africa. Voice of America, Washington, D.C. The postal code is 20547 USA.
Mapenzi ya mateso, mapenzi ya mateso. Nika moyo ni sana ukaja kuniadhili mbele ya watu mama mapenzi ya mateso mapenzi ya mateso na huzunika moyo ni sana kaja kuniadhili mbele ya watu mama sasa ni mwanadamu mapenzi ya mateso na huzunika moyoni sana kaja kuniadhili mbele ya watu mama kwa vitendo ulivyonitendea asante dada ulivyonitendea umeniachia doa moyoni kwa vitendo ulivyonitendea asante dada ulivyonitendea umeniachia doa moyoni Tendo livyo nitendea sante dada Ulivyo nitendea umeniachia doa moyoni
My Troubled Heart, Mapenzi ya Mateso, that was the title of that song by Tanzania's Upinda Jazz Orchestra. And over to West Africa now for our final number for this edition of Music Time in Africa. This is by Brother Victor Uwifo. He sings Dododo Nye Adasi Ato Nye.
Do, 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 yeah. Do, 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 yeah.
That was Victor Uwifo from Nigeria, and that's it for now. I'll be back later tonight with our late edition of Music Time in Africa. That'll be at 22 hours 30 GMT, and we'll be featuring more music by some of Africa's top pop bands. Thank you for listening to Music Time in Africa. I'm Rita Rochelle, wishing all the best to you, your family, and all your friends. There's a report of world news following immediately, so please stay tuned. My love to all of you.